Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Dart in shotgun set. Drops back to throw. Escapes. Now he's going to run with it. Cuts at the 15. He's to the 10. To the 5. Touchdown, Giants. Jackson Dart. 20-yard touchdown run.
Heart rates through the roof. The 0-1 pitch. Páez grounds it back to Kirkery. He can't find it. He throws home. It's wide. Kim scores. And the Dodgers are going to the championship series.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do over the airwaves of Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Plus, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, because you can't get me on the line directly, just go to SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. What you heard in terms of that sound, and that footage from last night was a couple of storylines. Number one, there's not one, but two new stars in the city of New York. I know they play at MetLife Stadium, but they are the New York Giants. And in the eyes of Giants fans everywhere, a savior has arrived, a star in Jackson Dart. We're not talking about his game. We're talking about his impact, because the brother could play. By the way, his best friend on the team, fellow rookie Cam Scatterboo, make no mistake about it, he's really, really ingratiating himself with the New York fan base right now in a fashion that we have not seen in some time. So the New York Giants are on the come up, regardless of what their record may state, regardless of just having two victories on the season, regardless of starting the season 0-3. In two of the last 3 weeks, they have beaten the Los Angeles Chargers, and they have now beaten the reigning defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. The other thing you heard, the other sound you heard, was courtesy of the NLDS, the Los Angeles Dodgers, defeating the Philadelphia Phillies in what can only be described as devastating heartbreak fashion. You're talking about a roller that's hit to the pitcher, Mr. Kirkerin, okay? And you've got the bases loaded, it's two outs, and all he had to do was turn to his left and throw the ball to first base, and it's three outs, innings over, game continues into the 12th inning. Instead, he fielded it, he bobbled it, he picked it up, and instead of thinking, doing baseball 101 and throwing the ball to first base, he instead decided to throw it to home plate, even though the catcher, Realmuto, the guy told him, pointing his arm, point right at first base, and instead he threw it back to his catcher over his head, allowing the winning run to come in and for this Philly season to end in what can only be described as heartbreaking fashion. It's like the Dodgers have their stars. The Phillies have theirs. They have it in their catcher, Realmuto. They've got it in Bryce Harper. They have it, obviously, in Kyle Schwarber, neither of whom did much last night. And as a result, the Philadelphia Phillies are going home, and it's a bad, bad day for the city of Philadelphia. Let's get into the football for a quick second here by saying this. Philadelphia Eagles got some problems. They got some real big-time problems. You're Jalen Hurts. You can't throw the interception that he threw, marching down 10, in a position to cut the gap and put the Giants on their heels. You can't throw the interception that he threw with about 11 minutes left. You can't do it. You just can't do it. That's a disastrous mistake on a part of Jalen Hurts. We see the numbers right there. Jalen Hurts, 24-33, 283 yards, a touchdown pass, an interception, just 13 rushing yards with Jackson Dart, 17 of 25 for 195 yards. He also threw a nice touchdown catch, not a nice touchdown pass. Not only did he do that, he scampered for a touchdown run, and he ended up rushing for 58 yards on the evening. He's the second leading rusher on the team right now with 167 yards. Number one on the team is this cat, Cam Scatterboo, who is, he's tough and he's rugged. He loves contact. And the more the game wanes, the more he pushes the envelope, the more he presses you. He comes right at you. 98 yards on 19 carries, averaging over 4 yards a carry on the season thus far. He's showing his impact coming out of Arizona State. He's the right guy, the right makeup, the right mentality for the New York Giants, and you just can't say enough about them. And if you're the New York Giants, and if you're Brian Daboll, these two are godsends. These two are godsends because they go out there, they give it all they have. They're not afraid. They've got swag to them, not just game, but swag, and they ingratiate themselves with that New York faithful, which is very, very important right now. If you're the Philadelphia Eagles, it's a different mindset. Right now, the Giants have a better story to tell than the Eagles, and the Eagles are 2 games better than the Giants in their own division. Right now, they're 4-2 on the season. The Giants are 2-4. The difference is the Eagles have lost 2 straight. The Giants shouldn't have lost last week to the New Orleans Saints, courtesy of 5 turnovers, but they beat the Chargers the week before that in Jackson Dart's first NFL start. And so now as you look at all of this on the come up right now, the New York Giants are a team to be reckoned with. If Jackson Dart continues to look the way that he looks, and most importantly, inspire the way that he inspires, I would caution him to be careful, because when he went down and had to be taken into the tent, I mean, Brian Daboll nearly had a heart attack running up in there. That's why the NFL is investigating their concussion protocol as we speak, because they think that the coach may have played the role in influencing Jackson Dart getting back out on that field when he may not have needed to, because he may have suffered a concussion. Giant fans at this particular moment don't care, and why should they? You're the Eagles, however, you should care a lot. They just look completely discombobulated. The Eagles are looking so unimpressive, it's scary. First 4 games of the season, when they were 4-0, they were throwing the football 25 times a game. Over the last 2 games, courtesy of A.J. Brown and Donta Smith, wide receivers for the Philadelphia Eagles, complaining quietly, indirectly, about the play calling, about the lack of activity coming their way. They've thrown the ball 35 times over the last 2 games compared to the 25 over the first 4 games. They were rushing the ball at 32.8 times per game in the first 4 games. That has dropped to 15 and a half attempts a game. How do you run the ball 15 times a game with Saquon Barkley in your backfield? How do you justify that? Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Points per game have dipped from 27 to 17 over that span. And, of course, they went from 4-0 to 0-2 over the last 2 weeks. They passed the football 71 times and only rushed it 31 times over the last 2 games, both losses. And did I mention that they've been 3-20? That's 15% on third downs over the last 2 games. 1-4-9 last night. It's bad in Philadelphia. It's bad in Philadelphia. And somehow, some way, a question needs to be asked. And I know my man T-Love from Philly is going to call up eventually. And damn it, this is the day he needs to, because we need some explanations. Why is it that the offense is being called predictable? Why is it that the offense for the Philadelphia Eagles is being called boring? Boring and predictable. Is it that you got a new offensive coordinator for the calling plays for the first time? Because Kellen Moore is gone as last year's offensive coordinator, because he took the head coaching job in New Orleans? And if things are so predictable, and all but 2 plays were out of the shotgun, all right? No lining up behind center, no play action fake, no RPOs, none of that. Just Jalen Hurts lining up behind center in a shotgun. Where's the lack of innovation? Is it that Jalen Hurts is not comfortable? Is it that Nick Sirianni and his staff don't believe in Jalen Hurts? What's the reason? Because A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are looking at them. They were wide open yesterday. He missed Devontae Smith wide open twice. He missed with that interception that he threw. A.J. Brown was 10 yards behind, wide open in the end zone. Wide open. Wide open. And he didn't get the ball. So Philadelphia definitely has some problems, and we all know that. And they have a lot of explaining to do, and they tried last night as to what the hell is going on. Let's hear from some of them. Play that sound, guys.
Take ownership for it, you know. A lot of autonomy, a lot of opportunity there with the ball in my hands, and given those situations, I have to be wiser and more detailed with it. So always looking inward first, you know, looking inward on the things that I can control. And, you know, I see a lot of opportunity in this. Wasn't good enough on our end.
Hell no, it wasn't. Hell no, it wasn't. It's real easy to blame Jalen Hurts, and sometimes it doesn't appear like he deserves it. Last night he did. Last night that game is definitely on him. Now, to keep in mind, you got the Eagles. They lost cornerback Quinyon Mitchell to a hamstring injury in the first half, so their defense was compromised to some degree. We all know that. We know their offensive line, they've had some issues. They're better at pass blocking than run blocking, which would explain why Saquon Barkley isn't getting the football nearly as much as he should, but it doesn't appear to be an excuse at all. It's quite shocking at how bad the Philadelphia Eagles look. Remember, Pro Bowl defensive tackle Jalen Carter, he didn't play because of a heel injury. Three-time Pro Bowl guard Landon Dickerson did not play either because of an ankle injury. So we got to take those things into consideration. But in the end, there's still no excuse for a Super Bowl champion to look the way that the Philadelphia Eagles looked last night. They just didn't look good at all, okay? And I'm looking at it from that standpoint. But the one thing that I can't escape, and I got to look at this. I got to look at this. And I had to share this with y'all because I'm looking at the New York Giants from this standpoint. You know who's got to be miserable? Even more miserable than the Philadelphia Eagles? Or the city of Philadelphia? It's got to be a New York Jets fan because of the state of the New York Jets. What an abomination. What an abomination and how bad they've been. And I bring that up because one of the things that I took the liberty of doing was I said, you know what? The Giants drafted Jackson Dart with the 25th pick in the draft. The Jets were in need of a quarterback and took an offensive lineman. Now, I understand how important your offensive line is, but they desperately needed a quarterback, and their answer was Justin Fields. And they tried to sell everybody on Justin Fields. And you've got talent on the New York Jets. They've got to be miserable. Aaron Glenn is their sixth head coach. And Darren Mooji is their sixth general manager since the team last reached the playoffs in 2010. You think the Giants are bad? The New York Jets haven't won a division title since 2002. They haven't won the AFC East since 2002. And they're the only team with multiple top five drafted quarterbacks since 2018. And neither is still with the team. Sam Darnold, we know what he's doing in Seattle last night. We know what he did last year in Minnesota. But we also know about that 13-25 record he has as a starter with the New York Jets. Zach Wilson, the second overall pick in 2021, spent three disastrous years with the Jets, 12-21 as a starter. He's now a backup in Miami. I'm just looking at this right now, and I'm saying Jackson Dart ends up with the New York Giants instead of the New York Jets. That's an organizational disaster. And this is, and think about this. The Giants are the new are the new game in town. They're the team that's galvanized folks in the New York City tri-state area, courtesy of football, because of what they have. And this is a New York Giants team that hasn't had a division title since last winning the NFC East title in 2011. Since this Super Bowl win following the 2011 season, the Giants have one double-digit win season, 10 losing seasons in the last 13 years. Their 37.4 winning percentage is the fourth worst in the NFL, only behind the Jaguars, who are the worst, the Jets and the Browns. Only two playoff appearances, one playoff win, six different head coaches, including one interim, three different general managers, two controversial handlings of starting quarterbacks with Eli Manning's mentioned in 2017 and, of course, Daniel Jones released in 2024. And by the way, Daniel Jones is in Indy looking like an MVP candidate. But now the Giants got Jackson Dart, who, by the way, can run with the football, plus throw the football, plus got swag, plus really ingratiates himself with the New York faithful. Everybody loves him. Him and Cam Scatterboo are about to own this town. They're about to own New York City because everybody loves them. And if you're the New York Jets, what does that say about you? Nobody gives a damn about gangrene right now. They suck. That's the belief. And they suck even more when you consider the fact that they play in the same stadium as the Giants, and the Giants have galvanized the fan base locally. This is really bad.
This is really bad. You can't look at one single game on the Jets schedule and believe firmly and wholeheartedly that there's a game that they can conceivably be favored to win for the rest of the damn season. Not one. You got Denver up next. We know what they bring. The Panthers, they got a couple of wins this year. Surprised a lot of folks beating Atlanta, beating Miami after trailing 17 to nothing. After that bye week, who you got? The Browns? Well, they can't score, but their defense is elite. You got the Patriots, the Ravens, the Falcons, the Dolphins, the Jaguars. Saints beat the Giants. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't believe it's going to happen. But conceivably, ladies and gentlemen, the Jets could go 0-16. 0-16. So if you're Philly, at least you get to say at this particular moment in time, number one, you got a winning record. Number two, you're still in the mix atop the NFC East. Number three, the sun will shine tomorrow because you got a lot of talent on the Philadelphia Eagles. And number four, you're not nearly as bad as what the hell is going on in New York with the Jets. You're the Giants. You playing with house money at this point. You got a quarterback who's going to be a star. I'm telling y'all right now. He's got star written on him. If the brother can play and he continues to play well, New York will cling to him like you haven't seen since the days of Joe Namath. I'm talking about as a quarterback. Okay? Phil Simms could throw the ball. He didn't get this kind of love. Jeff Hostetler could throw the ball. He didn't get this kind of love. Eli Manning won two Super Bowls for you. He didn't get this kind of love. Because this kid's game with his personality is made for New York. And so is Cam Scatterbo's. And they're both rookies together and they're best friends on the team. Giants are in a good spot right now. Never thought we'd say it. It should actually be a job Brian Daboll wanted to keep now. It really should. Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia, different matter altogether. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. That is the number to call into the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Plus, you can send me your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. We'll get into that, plus a slew of NFL games on the schedule. Of course, we'll talk about the Phillies and the Dodgers. I'll wait until another day to talk about the Cubs in Milwaukee. The Cubs forced a game five. That's a big-time game, a big-time performance by them last night. They were smacking Milwaukee around. This is why people were hesitant about Milwaukee wanting to go up against them. But my man Harold Reynolds said it best. All roads got to go through the Dodgers. And considering that the Dodgers won the series despite Shohei Ohtani going 1-for-17, striking out about 8 times, and they still win the damn series, being held to just 2 runs and they still win the damn series, it just tells you that the Dodgers aren't going away. So it's a lot to get into. It's a lot to unpack. I'm definitely going to talk about that. And I'm going to get into this whole Dak Prescott MVP thing as well. Plus my choices for MVP right now. It's not just him. It's Daniel Jones. It's Baker Mayfield. There's some names to look at now. The way that he's been playing, Puka Nacua, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. You see the stuff this dude is doing as a wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams right now? More receptions in the first 5 games of an NFL season than any wide receiver in history. Puka Nacua. There's a lot to dig into. And by the way, I'm not running from it. And in the interest of full disclosure, I fully expect the Las Vegas Aces to win the WNBA title tonight. I think they're sweeping the Mercury. The Mercury had a chance to win that last game. You blew that one. You ain't taking off. You ain't taking down, Asia Wilson and them. I just can't see it. The only way I could see the Aces losing this game is if the priority is to win on their home turf, because it's always exciting to win on your home court rather than winning on the road. But you can't take victories for granted, and I don't think that'll happen. I see a sweep coming tonight. That's just me. But if I'm wrong, damn it, then they'll win it in 5. It'll be, they say a gentleman's sweep, but a lady's sweep is what we would call it. Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute.